I've called this message the God of Urgent Search and Rescue. But I've got a question. What's the most important object you once lost and searched for? This is just a few of mine if you want to have a laugh at my expense. I once threw my passport in the rubbish by accident. It was in a bin liner outside about to be picked up. And I was searching frantically and urgently for that. I once lost my wedding ring whilst putting up a church banner on a roundabout near a hedge. I couldn't find it for the life of me, searched and searched frantically and urgently, and I found it hanging on a twig. That was in answer to prayer. It was just hanging there. And then lastly, and this is probably the worst, I once left and forgot my child in Clinton Card Shop, and I just got in the car and was about to go home, completely forgot I'd left the kid in the shop. And then, of course, frantically, urgently, went looking. Now, bit of fun there. But you know, this passage that has been read to us by Val actually is teaching us that people are lost. People are spiritually lost. What I mean by that is people who don't know God personally, are born naturally into this world. They may know where they are geographically, but spiritually the Bible teaches that they are lost. They're far from God. We've all turned our back on God at different times. We've all done things wrong. And the Bible does teach that people are lost. But here's some good news. Not just lost, but missed. Really missed. You know, when you miss someone, God misses people. God longs to reach lost people and bring them back, because his heart is a heart of love, a searching, search and rescue heart of love. Now, there are some things in our lives that are not so important. I mean, I'm very grateful that Joey, I think she's working today, but produces the bulletin. This is our church bulletin. If you want a copy, it's a riveting read. But she's very good, and I'm so grateful she does it. But if I'm honest, if I were to lose the bulletin, I probably wouldn't switch on all the lights in my house, get out a broom, sweep the house from top to bottom, and then if I found it, I wouldn't then throw a party and invite all my neighbours to come because I found the church bulletin. I would probably just find another one, or I would ask my wife what's going on in the church. Similarly, if I lose my Bic pen, I'm not going to hunt high and low for it. I've got a pot of pens at home and think, well, I've got plenty more. It's not that important. But in this story, we read of a sheep and a coin that are lost, and they actually represent lost people. And it's totally different as regards the lost sheep. You see, the shepherd has 100 sheep in Jesus' story. And as I say, the sheep represent people in this story. And he loses one. Now, mathematically, you would say, well, I got 99 others. Don't worry about it. But the shepherd in this story has a passionate longing. This sheep has a name. I don't know if it was it called Emily or something, you know, and it's missing Emily, and he wants to go and find this sheep no matter what. And I know this is a well-known story to you, but I just want to highlight how every single person, every single sheep in this story really, really matters to God. And this is a picture of God urgently seeking lost people. By the way, the Bible calls them sinners. Now, that word might put your back up. You know, sinner, that sounds a bit judgmental. All sinner means, really, is someone far from God. And so, lost people. Same with the lady, or the woman. She doesn't just go, oh, well, I've got 9 more coins. She gets on her hands and knees and starts earnestly a search and rescue operation. Now, recently in the news, you'd have heard that very sad story about the Ocean Gate submarine that went down to the Titanic and was lost. And in that case, that search and rescue didn't end well. But what I want you to try and remember is how they searched, how frantic, how they put all these resources in. It was a frantic search for that particular submarine. I mean, it would have been good if they'd done the same for the migrants that capsized off the coast of Greece. Sadly, they didn't. But in that case, they really searched. And this is God's heart for people, okay? No matter how much they hold him at arm's length, no matter how much they reject him, God's heart is a search and rescue heart. In fact, God worked so hard at search and rescue that he ended up sending his son to die and hang on a cross to pay for our sins upon the cross at Calvary. That's as hard as God worked. You know, God said, I love you this much. And he would do it all again if he had to. He doesn't have to, thankfully. And he would do it if you were the only sinner or lost person on the earth, because he loves you. So this is a picture we're looking at today of God's heart. It's a very simple story, but really important we don't forget it. Now, I've talked about people being lost. What does lost humanity look like? Well, we get hints in this story. There are lost people are a bit like sheep. You know, a sheep, it kind of doesn't think ahead particularly. It just nibbles. It's a bit distracted. And it just focuses on the immediate. It doesn't focus on the long term. And before it knows it, the sheep is where it shouldn't be. It's wandered off. It's gone astray. And people are like that. People wander and go astray further and further away from the flock and the shepherd. People can also be like a coin. You know, a coin maybe is lost, not through any fault of its own particularly. It's just lost. But it's helpless. It's lifeless. Now, of course, human beings have life, but spiritually, the Bible says, without Christ, we're lifeless, a bit like a coin that's dead. And it can't really find its own way back. It can't even bleat like a sheep. And then the third type of lostness, which we haven't got time to read today, is a third story Jesus told about a son that ran away from his father and he ended up in a far distant country, in effect, lost. And we also read of his brother, a religious guy, who also was stayed at home, but he was equally lost. You know, religious people who do all the right things, tick all the right boxes, do all the rules, they also can be lost and not actually close to God, just religious. But there's a picture of someone who goes against God, rebelled, and said, I don't want you, God, thank you. And there are people like that. They say, no, thank you. Talk to the hand. I will go my own way. And as was it Frank Sinatra said, did it my way. Now, this story, these two stories, Jesus told because of a particular situation, which we can read in the first two verses of Luke 15, or first three. It says, now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Then Jesus told them this story. You see, Jesus had been saying in chapter 13 that people need to repent. You may not like that word, but the word repent simply means turn to God, give him the keys to your life, make him king of your life, and bow humbly, asking for forgiveness. Jesus taught people to repent, okay, in Luke 13. And then in Luke 14, he says, whoever's got ears to hear, let them hear. So Jesus said, you've got to listen to what I'm teaching. And he also spoke about a narrow way, a narrow door. He said, if you want to be saved and come to know God, you've got to go through a narrow door. What is a narrow door? Simply it means the way of humility. Bowing humbly before God. It's a narrow thing to not go your own way, but to go God's way. But you see, what was happening was, look at verse 1. The tax collectors, they were really the lowest of the low in the eyes of some of the Jews, because they paid taxes to the Roman Empire and took money from Jewish people. And the sinners, they were possibly just anyone far from God, but possibly also prostitutes. But listen to this. It says, look, it says they were gathering round to hear. They were hearing. Their ears were switched on. They had the ears to hear. They were listening to what Jesus had said about repenting, about going the narrow way, about humbling. And they were coming. But the Pharisees, these are the religious establishment, the religious people, they were muttering, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. riffraff. And do you know what they were doing? They were doing this. They were putting their fingers in their ears and not listening to what Jesus had said. They thought they didn't need rescuing, these religious leaders. They thought they weren't lost. They thought, I'm not a sinner. I don't need to repent. I'm a decent sort of person. And when they saw Jesus talking to prostitutes, tax collectors, people far away, they said, he can't be God's Messiah. Look at the kind of people he's associating with. He can't. It's the wrong kind of people. If he was the real Messiah, he would be welcoming people like us. And, you know, these guys, they taught that God hated sinners. God hated far people who are far away. And God only loved the ones that kept the rules. That's what they taught. They said, God only loves people who keep all the rules. Whereas Jesus came to correct what they were saying. They were giving a misrepresentation of God. It's very easy when you're religious to have an attitude that's totally opposite to God's. These guys thought they were at the front of the queue. These guys thought they were the bee's knees. But Jesus said, the first will be last. You religious ones that think you're at the front of the queue, be careful, you'll be last. Your attitude stinks, is what Jesus is saying. You say God hates sinners and loves the righteous. Well, that's not what I'm going to show you. In fact, these guys, you know what they used to call the people who weren't Pharisees? They would call them the people of the land. That's a modern an old translation of the word riffraff. They would say they are the riffraff. They weren't allowed to have them round to their house. They weren't allowed to be a guest. They weren't allowed to go on a journey with them. They did all they could to avoid contact with the riffraff, the ones that don't keep the laws, the ones that aren't religious. And they despised them. And do you know what? This will really shock you, I hope. Keep you awake, at least. They had a saying, and this was their saying. There is more joy in heaven over one sinner that God obliterates. So Jesus comes along and says, there's more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. Stuff that, Pharisees. You know, that's kind of the way he totally... They actually said God. They thought God would enjoy obliterating people. No Pharisee could ever dream of a God who searched for the sinner, whose heart went out for them. They thought it was the human being's job to go searching for God, to climb the ladder. You know, if the Pharisees had written these parables, like, do you know what they would have said? It would have said there was a sheep hunting for the shepherd. If the Pharisees had written the parable of the lost coin, they would have written, there was a coin stuck behind a sofa, jumping up and down, saying, please, here I am, come and find me. It was totally new that God's heart went out to search for sinners. And Jesus said, I'm going to correct what you people are saying. And that's why he told these stories. So, what is God's actual attitude towards lost people? What is his real concern? What is his real agenda? There, number one. God is urgently seeking lost people. That is his attitude. Urgently, not just half-heartedly. You know, if I lose something in the house and I go looking for it, I can be a bit half-hearted. And then when Karina goes looking for it, she finds it. It's like it was there, because it was what I call it, sorry guys, I call it the man look. Just sort of like. God is urgently seeking lost people. And look at the attitude of this shepherd, as we've already mentioned. The shepherd, he goes out in an act of self-sacrifice to look for this lost sheep. You know, it was a dangerous place, Judea. There was a plateau, which wasn't that big, and then there were cliffs, and then there was the wilderness. All kinds of wolves and funny creatures lived there. And it was actually quite risky to life if you went out hunting a sheep by yourself. And it says, he goes, you know, he looks until he finds the lost sheep, all right? And then, if you remember the story, it says when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Did you know how heavy a sheep is? I mean, okay, there's a lamb, fine. But I worked on a farm, and I can tell you this, the average sheep between 45 kilograms and 65 kilograms. That is heavy. You've got to walk with that on your back. It's about, if people who like Imperial, it's 100 pounds weight, more or less. Okay. Now, this is compassion, isn't it, at play? And the image of a shepherd is an image for God in the Bible, okay? God is called the shepherd in Ezekiel. But it's also an image of a religious leader or a leader of God's people. And you see, they were called the shepherds. And what these shepherds, the Pharisees, they were bad shepherds because they should have been out looking for the lost. They should have been like this guy, caring for the lost, but these bad shepherds despised the lost. And Jesus said, you guys have got it all back to front. When he said to them, suppose one of you lost a sheep. He's pointing at them saying, you guys have lost people because of your attitude that stinks. You've lost people. You should be out looking for them like God does. Jesus himself said, I'm the good shepherd. You know, Jesus said, I came to seek and save the lost. That is the truth of God's heart. God is far kinder than human beings. Far kinder. Look at God's attitude displayed through the woman searching for the coin. You know, there was a passionate search for the coin. She lit a lamp, we're told, in verse 8. Why did she light a lamp? Well, there's two possible reasons. One is that the house was dark, because they didn't have very many windows back then. The floor was covered in earth and reeds and rushes, and it was difficult to find something that got lost. So, like looking for a needle in a haystack, basically. But the other reason why she may have lit a lamp is because it was becoming evening, and she didn't want to wait till the morning. This is urgent. I don't want to wait till the next day. I'm going to find my coin. Look at the heart. And maybe those coins were a day's whole wage in those times. It's called a drachma. It was probably a whole day's wage. And if she didn't find it, the family couldn't eat. It was that serious. But maybe, and just maybe, it was a special coin from a wedding outfit. Because some scholars think that in those days, they used to have 10 coins across the top of their forehead. It's like a wedding dress or a wedding ring, if you like. And so when she's looking for the one lost coin, you see, it would look weird if only 9, and she's got a romantic reason to find this. She wants to show she's married, she loves her husband, so she's looking. It's like looking for a wedding ring. We don't know, but the point is this. God loves people in the same passionate, urgent way that shepherd loved his sheep and that woman loved her coin. The second thing it shows of God's attitude is that God celebrates the rescue of lost people. You know, the Pharisees were grumbling. They were mumbling, oh, look at these people. Do you know why they were grumbling? Because they didn't think they were sinners. They didn't think they were lost. They didn't think they needed rescue. They thought, I'm all right, Jack. Riffraff. But God celebrates. I mean, you know this story. The shepherd, when he comes back with the sheep, he calls his friends and neighbours together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. Now, I don't know about you, if you found a sheep, would you throw a party? Isn't it a bit extravagant joy? Well, you found a coin, would you invite your neighbours and throw a party? Don't you think it's a bit over the top? Well, that's what God's heart's like, you see. In fact, throwing a party, I read this somewhere, if you throw a party, it probably costs the shepherd a lot more money than the value of the actual sheep he rescued. But he didn't care, you see. And by the way, sometimes these sheep were owned by the whole village, not by one person. So the whole village owned the sheep. So if you came back with a sheep, the whole village would go, yes! The whole village would be full of joy and thanksgiving because part of the communal flock have come home. Whatever, though, it's a picture of God's emotions on display. The same with the lady. When she finds the coin, she throws a party as well. Have you ever, maybe you haven't had joy when you found something, but maybe relief? Have you ever had a massive sense of relief? When I lose my car keys, I'm quite relieved. When I lose my bank card, I'm quite relieved. When I lose my wedding ring, I'm definitely quite relieved. Have you ever had that sense of massive relief and that, also that sense of gut churning, stomach churning, I need to find this thing? My cat went missing about a year ago. And I'll tell you, we were absolutely besotted with the cat. And we searched, we went out six times, we prayed. Eventually, I found the cat, it was behind a fence, and there was a little hole, and it stuck its paw through, and I shook its paw. It was so romantic. Anyway, but the point is, I'm trying to paint to you this idea, God's heart is so concerned. And in those verses, I think the word joy appears five times in seven verses. I mean, that's quite a lot. And at the end of verse 10, it says, there will be joy before the angels of God over someone who repents. Question, who is before the angels of God? It's God himself. In other words, there will be joy in God's heart when somebody turns and is found. When I became a Christian at Exeter University many moons ago, I became a Christian and I gave my life to the Lord. And I remember somebody praying with me and they said, I've got this picture, Simon. And I said, oh yeah, what's that? I've got this picture, all these balloons going up. All these balloons. And he said, God is so joyful. And I was like, oh, okay, God is pleased. Do you believe that God can actually find joy in a person and in you? Okay, I'm running towards the end now. I want to try and make this practical for all of us. How should these stories impact me today? And by the way, there are three stories. We haven't read the third one. There's the shepherd and the sheep, the shepherd's joy over the lost sheep. There's the woman and her lost coin. And there's also the runaway son. And some scholars think, why are there three? Is there a picture of the Trinity? Maybe. The Son, the Spirit, and the Father? Maybe. God is fully invested. All the Trinity is fully invested in finding people. Maybe that's why there's three stories. We don't know. But how can these stories affect you and me? Well, here's three basic quick points. The first one is, don't fool yourself. What I mean by that is, there are religious people in this world who think they aren't lost. They don't need to be rescued by Jesus. They don't need to repent because they're decent and good people. And they cannot hear Jesus' call to repentance because they don't have ears to hear. Because they're not lost in an obvious way. They're not a prostitute or a bank robber or an axe murderer. So they think, well, I'm not an obvious lost case. But they also need to be found. There's a story of the older son in the third story, and he was lost. He was at home, he was religious, but he was lost. Good news, though. This is really good news. God does not love righteous people. Can I tell you why? Because there aren't any. The Bible says in Romans 3, verse 10, none are righteous, no, not one. God doesn't love righteous people, but I tell you the good news. God loves sinners and he pursues them and he forgives them and he offers mercy to anyone and everyone who repents. If you come the narrow way, you humble yourself at the narrow door. Don't fool yourself. People who think they're part of the 99 and don't need to be rescued, they've forgotten the scripture that says all have gone astray. In Isaiah 53, verse 6, all like sheep have gone astray. All of us, each has turned to our own way. So, if you think you're decent and don't need Jesus to rescue you, think again. Don't kid yourself. Right, number two. I want to encourage anyone who feels a bit nervous here. I want to encourage you this. I want to tell you about my Dutch grandmother. You're with the Lord now. She was always a bit worried. She always said to me, I remember she would say things like, I'm not sure if I've done enough to get into heaven. I'm not sure if I don't know. I've been going to church for 30 years, but I'm not sure if really I've done enough. And I'm a bit worried about what God will do to me. And we tried to sort of say to her, you can never do enough. And it's not our searching, it's God searching for us. Now, of course, we do need to repent. Yes, we need to turn from living for ourselves and put God in charge and give him the keys to our life. But your place in God's family rests on him searching for you, on him saving you, on him dying on the cross, on his grace. We sang it, amazing grace. God found me, Simon. You know, can I tell you how God found me? I wasn't caring about God. I was at a carnival. I was at a carnival, all these floats going past. And I remember this girl, dressed as a pirate, walked up to me with a patch on her eye, gave me a gospel leaflet, said, "You need to read that." I thought, well, that's different. She became my girlfriend for a short period of time. And she invited me to church. I'd never set foot in a church. And I always remember the title of the musical play wasn't very good. It's called Crows and Methodists. It's a weird musical play. But the point of it is this. God began finding me. It wasn't me looking for God. I wasn't caring about God. That's how the whole process began. And God has found you. So please, if you've repented, don't worry. You're secure in Christ if you've repented, because it's him that searched for you and he celebrates over you. Do you believe? Does anyone here not believe God celebrates over you? God celebrates over you. Zephaniah says he will rejoice over you with singing. I don't know if you really believe that. I got rescued by a friend when my car ran out of petrol. He didn't celebrate. He thought I was annoying. I got rescued by an NHS ambulance from a car crash. The ambulance crew didn't celebrate. They didn't rejoice. They were just doing their job. I tell you, when God saves you, he rejoices. I hope that gives you reassurance. And then the last point. If God is like this, and he is, line your life up with Jesus' mission to rescue people. You know, Luke wants us to see God's agenda, and the book of Acts as well. If you read the book of Acts, it's all about God's agenda is rescue mission for people. God isn't particularly interested in Brexit or football. God is interested in saving sinners. That's his big primary concern. So will we line our lives up with our neighbours, our friends, go to even in our prayers. And I want to just finish with, this is the last picture of something really amazing, I think. Right. Does anyone know what that is? Termites, yes. Now these are called compass termites or magnetic termites. Okay, bear with me. What they do is they build their homes on a magnetic field. And the sharp bits point south and the other sharp bit points north, and they all follow the magnetic field and they line their homes up. The source on it's a David Attenborough program. It's really interesting. And the point is these termites, they line themselves up, and God is calling us to line. He said, line your life up with my heart of mission. Make that your priority. Seek God's kingdom first and everything else will be added to you. And as we close, let us never forget. Where are we in this story of the lost sheep? Where are we? We are the lost sheep. We are the lost sheep that God loves and comes to rescue. Let's pray. I'm going to pray. I don't know if there's anyone here who maybe has never accepted Jesus as rescuer. But if that's you, pray this quietly in your heart. Our Heavenly Father, thank you that you have sent Jesus to rescue me. I accept that I am lost and I've lived life with myself in charge. I've ignored you. Please forgive my rebellion against you. Please help me to repent. Please give me a place in your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. And for the rest of us who have repented, Lord, thank you that you accept us, you celebrate over us. Help us align our lives with your heart of search and rescue, for Jesus' sake. Amen.